Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Well, hello, and wherever you are and however you're listening today, you are very welcome as you join us here in Assembly Buildings, the administrative heart of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland here in central Belfast, for PCI's latest podcast. My name is Mark Smith, and I am the denomination's press and media officer, your host for the next 40 minutes, as my guests delve into and give us an insight into one of the largest annual church gatherings on the island of Ireland, which will take place next week. Now, if you're listening in the Republic of Ireland, you would have just returned your 14 MEPs to the European Parliament. And if you are listening in Northern Ireland, as the general election trundles on, we are 3 weeks away from returning our 18 MPs to Parliament in Westminster. But next week, Irish Presbyterians will gather in this building when the Church's Parliament, the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, meets from Thursday morning to Saturday afternoon. And before it will be numerous reports and over 80 associated resolutions from PCI's various councils and commissions. So in this episode, we're going to take time to look forward to this year's assembly and what we might expect from PCI's principal decision-making body. To do that, I'm joined by four colleagues around the table here in the Weir Chapel, and they are, in alphabetical order, the Reverend Dr. David Allen, the Reverend Trevor Griven, the Reverend Alvin Rankin, and last but by no means least, Dr. Rebecca Stevenson, who is known to all as Bex. And you're all very welcome. And while some of our more ardent listeners will recognise some of your voices as we begin, I wonder if in 30 or so seconds you could just tell us who you are, what you do, and your role next week. And lastly, if you could use one word that encapsulates the General Assembly for you, what would that be? And if we have time at the end, I'll ask you to briefly explain why that word came to mind and why you chose it. So, coming to you first, David, if you wouldn't mind kicking us off.
Thanks, Mark. I'm David Allen, Deputy Clerk of the Assembly. I support the Clerk and take the minutes of the Assembly. One word, important.
Right, okay. Trevor, can come to you.
Yeah, I'm Trevor Griven. I'm Clerk of the General Assembly and General Secretary of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And really, I'm there to be supported by David next week, as we've just heard. But primarily, I'm there to support the moderator and to help in the ordering of business at the Assembly. I sometimes have to give advice on procedure, and I'm sitting at the front, along with David Allen, the Deputy Clerk, and the moderator, trying to keep business flowing. What's my one word? Well, I could use lots of words, but my one word for 2024 is facilitation.
Right, facilitation. Alban.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Alban Rankin. I'm Minister of Stormont Presbyterian Church in East Belfast, and I'm the convener of the Council for Congregational Life and Witness. And this will be my first time presenting to the Assembly. My word is a word that I've been living with all year, and we'll speak about a little bit more later, and it's the word present.
Okay, thanks. And finally, Bex.
Hi, I'm Bex Stevenson, and I am the Public Affairs Officer for PCI. In my role, I support the Council of Public Affairs and the various committees and panels kind of within it to help the church speak to government, statutory bodies, etc., across the island on public affairs issues.
And you're new in post, aren't you?
Yes, yeah.
How many months?
Just six.
Six?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you everybody for letting us know who you are and your roles for next week.
But Bex, what about your word?
Yes.
I've been dying to wait to hear it.
So my word is refreshed.
Refreshed. Okay, lovely. And as I said, if we have time, we'll come back to for a little explanation on all of those words. Trevor, if I could come to you first, while you've been attending General Assemblies for many years as a student for the ministry and as a minister since your ordination in the late 1980s, this is your 10th General Assembly, I think. I've already referred to the Assembly as our parliament and principal decision-making body, but am I right in that? For those who aren't familiar with the church way of doing things, what is a General Assembly? Who can attend? And what is it actually for?
Well, for those who are General Assembly podcast groupies, they will know exactly what I'm about to say, because I say the same thing every year.
Can you do it in a different voice?
In a different voice. I raise my voice and I bring it down low sometimes. The General Assembly is not a meeting. It is a church gathering in General Assembly. It's elders and ministers, and women's reps, youth reps, under 30 reps from across Ireland gathering together in General Assembly. Why? Well, primarily to wait upon God, to come before him as his servants called to serve him in his church, coming in worship, coming to give him praise and honor and glory, coming to listen for his voice and the prompting of his spirit, coming to sit under his word at different times, and coming under his guidance to make decisions for the well-being of the church. It's not just a meeting. There's a lot goes on in the General Assembly. Since I became firstly deputy clerk and then clerk of assembly, in a sense those jobs spoil my assembly, because a lot of what goes on outside the actual meetings. It's colleagues meeting together, maybe haven't seen each other for a while. It's meeting new people. It's elders and ministers conversing together about the business before the week. And then in the house itself, it's making those decisions, listening to reports, what have councils been doing, and also making decisions for the remit of those councils in the year ahead. It's a meeting that's open. Presbyterianism does all our business in the daylight, so people can come and sit in the gallery for everything apart from one small private session on Saturday morning. People can also listen in. It's streamed live via the PCI website. You can get a link. They can also read about it. Mark, you'll be very busy working with the press. Hopefully the press will be carrying reports about it. We're making our decisions under God and in public. And that's who we are as Presbyterians, meeting in General Assembly.
Thank you, Trevor, for that rather comprehensive overview. Some things don't change with General Assemblies, and you've talked about various elements of who will be there and some of the things that we're going to be discussing. But if our listeners haven't attended in person or ever watched on the live stream, you know, when they come to it, it will look very new to them. But to old General Assembly hands, this year will actually be very different due to a number of significant changes that were agreed by members of Assembly last year. If I can just come back to you again on that particular thing, what are the differences and why was last year's General Assembly minded to change things? Because they are very different.
There's an old story told about an elderly Presbyterian elder in a small congregation who a member of the community asked him, well, you must have seen many changes over the last 30 or 40 years as an elder in the church. And he seemingly replied, yes, and I opposed every one of them. Presbyterians don't do change easily. And lots of my friends in other denominations remind me of that all the time. But in 2023, the General Assembly made some very significant changes to the way we do our business in General Assembly, and they've been implemented this year. So for the first time this year, the General Assembly will open in the morning. It's opening at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning, just with a short service of worship led by our current moderator, Dr. Sam Mahwinney. He will continue to conduct business right up until the middle of Friday afternoon as our outgoing moderator. There'll also be a different assembly celebration. It will be on that first evening, Thursday evening. And again, this year's moderator, the current moderator, will lead that. And then at 4:30 on Friday afternoon, there will be a service of installation for the new moderator. That will not happen at the start of the assembly, but in the middle of the assembly. That's different. That's change. And people like me and loads of the staff who work in our building, who have to organise the logistics of these things, we're all over the place, because we've never done it this way before.
This used to be on the opening night, which isn't taking place.
Exactly. The opening night is now an opening morning, and it's not what used to happen. So Presbyterians throughout Ireland don't know where they're coming or going, to be honest. So this year will be exciting. So if I was watching at home, I would tune in just to see what happens and if we can cope with all of this change. But these changes, of course, are for good reasons. Yes. It's to let the outgoing moderator, Dr. Sam Mahoney, chair and moderate lots of the business that he's been aware of all of his year. And it's to let the new moderator be installed in the middle of the assembly with civic guests present for that installation, 4:30 on Friday afternoon, and then let him moderate it at roughly the last third of the assembly. We'll also be having the communion service this year. One of the highlights of the assembly is a General Assembly communion service. We meet together around the Lord's table. That'll be conducted by Dr. Richard Murray, our new moderator, and that will be at the close of the assembly on Saturday afternoon. So things are different. The order's different. It's refreshed. I think that's a good thing. It's the changes that the General Assembly itself said, and I think it will be exciting. But, you know, watch a space and see if two clerks who are used to doing things the way they've always been done will cope. David will keep me right. That's what he's paid for.
I'm sure he will. Thank you.
Can I just interrupt? Sorry, what was that word you used there, Trevor?
Yes, I did use the word refreshed. Because I'm a bit of a crawler, I like to keep in with Bex and not annoy her too much.
All of that will become clearer later. But thank you for that, and I'll also be coming back to you later in your role as Secretary to the Council, the General Council, to give us an overview of its business before the Assembly and a wider general overview before we go into specifics from our other guests. But yes, the blue book is in front of us, or the light blue book, as it's become known this year, as has already been mentioned. And it contains over 80 resolutions and all the reports that are coming before the General Assembly. Everyone who is attending receives a blue book. That is each minister, each representative elder, and from our 500 plus congregations, the length and breadth of Ireland. Under 30 reps and others who are entitled to attend, including those from overseas. Our colleagues last week or 2 weeks ago sent 1,000 of these books to the various people who are entitled to attend. And if you don't have a copy of it and you are going to be following the General Assembly, they are available on our website in the General Assembly section, and you can find them at www.presbyterianireland.org/GA24. Now, the Assembly is often tasked with taking decisions that are in some ways can be described as a little bit mundane. On occasion, decisions that need to be taken will affect the life and ministry of the Church in its coming months and years and for longer. One such area of work is something that we call reconfiguration of ministry. And we touched on this in our podcast last year. However, the work of the task group under the General Council is probably one of the most significant pieces of work to come before the Assembly in recent years, and it's back again this year. David, our Deputy Clerk, is the task group's convener. Can you take us through what it means, the outcome of the Green Paper consultation process, and what the Assembly is going to be asked to decide next week?
Thanks, Mark. Originally, the Assembly started this process in 2021, probably because it knew that over the next few years, we're going to have a reducing number of ministers. And that's because more are due to retire than are training in college. If this happens, then there'll be more vacancies and they'll be longer. Rather than allow that to happen in an uncontrolled way, with the possibility that smaller country churches might bear the brunt of it, the Assembly decided to look at the configuration of our ministers, to take an overview and to try to adjust that so that the ministers we have are used in the most effective way for ministry and mission. Since then, at least two other things have become clear. Firstly, we don't just have a lower number of ministers, we also have lower numbers of people. We've lost about 20% of our contributing families in the past 10 years. It's clear that we need to do something about that, not least turn to God in prayer and ask Him to bless us and to guide us about what we should be and do on this island now and in the future. The other thing that comes from that, that idea of what we should be and do on this island today and the future, where and how we should be present on the island of Ireland, if I can borrow Alban's word. If you were to mark every PCI congregation on a map of Ireland, there are lots in the north and east, and hardly any the further west and south you go. In fact, we don't have a single congregation in the city of Limerick which has over 100,000 people in it. Now, that's more than the population of Ballymena, Newton Ards and Coleraine combined, where we have a total of 20 churches. But for those 100,000 people in Limerick, we aren't trying to share the gospel or witness to Christ. We're not investing any of our money or our ministers in trying to reach those people, many of whom may well be without Christ and lost. For the panel who produced the report, this has actually become the key thing. It's trying to encourage us as a denomination to look out, to care as the Lord does for the people right across this island, and to use our resources in the most effective way for the Lord, to be and do what he wants us to as the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. This has been done through the new green paper process. The panel brought a report to last year's assembly. It was sent to presbyteries. The panel met with every presbytery. Presbyteries sent written responses back to the panel, and the panel rewrote the report in light of the responses. It has been a very helpful process. The panel has listened carefully to presbyteries, and there have been lots of changes in this year's report. Next week, the Assembly will be asked to agree to the process starting. It will be based in presbyteries and driven by them. They know local situations best. They'll be asked to draw up a plan for their areas, looking at where and how PCI should be present over the next 5 years. The plans are to be revised every 5 years. And the Linkage Commission will support presbyteries as they do that. And it will work to make sure there's an even-handedness across all 19 presbyteries so that some don't get favoured over others.
Having said that, though, and one point I picked up there was that you're encouraging us to look out, using resources, you said, in the most effective way possible. And that has been a very considerable task in putting that paper together. Would you say that the consultation process, this first green paper process, has been a benefit, you know, a real benefit?
Yes, I would very much. This is something that's so important for the church today and in the future. It's a process that is owned by the church. It's not owned by the panel who was asked to produce the report. And so the panel is bringing a report that it trusts reflects the mind of the church as under God together we seek to go forward and to follow what he wants us to do. And that has been facilitated and enabled very helpfully by the green paper process.
And whilst, you know, all of this is really going to affect congregations within presbyteries, when you look at the Blue Book and you look at the report, it says that it actually focuses on how we do things centrally as well in this building, in the training of our ministers at Union Theological College. So it's more than just looking at mission and ministry out there on the ground, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Mark. One of the things that Presbytery said very clearly to the panel was that just as we should look at the use of our resources in congregations and presbyteries, so we should also look at the way we use them in the central denomination. Our buildings, our people, here in Assembly buildings and also in Union College. Again, so that we're as effective as possible in being and doing what the Lord wants us to. And another part of that is reviewing how we train our ministers. To make sure we're training them for ministry in the Ireland of today and tomorrow, and what buildings and people we need to do that well.
So we are looking at sort of considerable change if the General Assembly at some point in time want to go down that route.
That would be the implication.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that reconfiguration. And it's very much something that's internal to PCI. But we have Bex here, and I just wanted to bring you in at this point. In that the church often gives throughout the year, and especially during General Assembly time, what I could describe as collective voice to the concerns of people within and outside of PCI around some of the very pressing issues and hot-button topics that society is facing. Led by the moderator, the church has a role to play in wider civic society and often engages with elected representatives, government and statutory bodies in both jurisdictions. And this is an important responsibility that is shouldered by the Council for Public Affairs, and UBEX is our Public Affairs Officer. I know this is your first General Assembly, so exciting times for you in many ways, as I think you're seconding the report, Archie, on the floor of the House.
Yes.
Okay. So no pressure. But looking at this year's Blue Book and looking ahead to the Assembly, there are a number of resolutions concerning education through to issues around human dignity. Could you take us through a couple of those and the key areas of your council report this year and tell us why it's important that we as a church speak into what we describe as the public square?
That's no problem. I'm going to take those in two parts. I'm going to talk about the reports and then talk about the why. So it's been another busy year for the Council of Public Affairs, and there have been a number of areas where PCI has spoken into the public square. The first one is that I would like to talk about is education. And so through the State Education Committee, we have responded on issues like integrated education and engaged with a number of relevant bodies on the changes to the relationships and sexual education curriculum. Then through the work of the Transferred Representatives Council, that PCI is part of, we have engaged on the judicial review. So it was Judicial Review 87, and that was relating to collective worship and the teaching of RE in schools. And then there has also been the ongoing work regarding the reconstitution of Board of Governors, and that's quite a sizable piece of work that's ongoing. We've also engaged with Peace and Reconciliation through the Peace and Reconciliation Panel, and that's really been prioritising the work of considering grace and establishing what the next steps to that project will look like. So there is going to be what I think a very exciting development on that, and in the next year or so there will be the creation of a suite of follow-up resources to it. Mm-hmm. We've also engaged with the issue of assisted suicide and euthanasia. And back in November, David Bruce and I represented PCI at the Oireachtas Committee on Assisted Dying. And following on from that, the Council of Public Affairs, through the Human Dignity Panel, has established an Assisted Suicide and Euthanasia Task Group, which aims to establish PCI's position and communicate that effectively into the public square.
But Bex, isn't it right? There's going to be a supplementary report coming on that issue that people can look out for when they get the supplementary reports on Thursday morning.
Yes, thank you, Trevor. There is a supplementary report which really outlines very succinctly what that task group is intending to do.
Well, that's interesting to know, and thanks for that overview, Bex. But I remember back in 2018, the Assembly debated assisted suicide and euthanasia. So, you know, what was that, 2018, 6 years. So why do you think it's important to bring that back to the floor of the House now?
I think what we're doing is building on the foundation that was created in 2018. Unfortunately, we've reached a point where assisted suicide and euthanasia is no longer a theoretical possibility, but it's happening. It's happening now. And for example, the situation in Scotland with the introduction of the MacArthur Bill and the recommendations from the Oireachtas Committee on Assisted Dying, which recommended that they should legislate for assisted dying, means that this issue is an issue that will be facing the church in the coming years. And we need to be very clear on what our position is and how we're going to communicate that into the public square. Mm. And if I could just go back, I didn't actually get to answer the why. Why should we engage with?
Yes, go ahead. So
I think we are facing a rapidly changing culture. Even the conversation that we just had about assisted dying and the change from 2018 to now is a good illustration of that. And we're also in a position where Christian truths and biblical truths are becoming unpopular and uncomfortable for some people. And we're called to be salt and light. And I think engaging in public affairs and public policy is where we have an opportunity to be radically salt and light. And I think that PCI also has a biblical mandate to do this, to speak into these issues.
And I think everybody would agree with you there. So thank you very much for that, Bex, and all the very best in your very first General Assembly.
To continue listening to this podcast, please click on part two.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.